Welcome to the Chain Stories Podcast, the podcast that celebrates disruptors who defy convention. Here, we dive into the bold stories of trailblazers who turned audacious ideas into billion-dollar ventures. From digital assets to transformative innovations, brought to you by Dropout Capital, we believe the path to success isn't always conventional. So whether you're a student, a founder, or just curious, these are the stories of fearless innovators redefining what's possible.
Yeah, we'd love to learn more about what you guys and what you're doing. Ash told me you have a good network with universities and school clubs, but yeah, we'd love to learn more.
Cool, for sure. Yeah, the Blockchain Education Network started in 2014, and it was a foundation at the time just to connect students from different universities to share resources, learn about Bitcoin, Ethereum. And at the time, there's really nothing out there on the web. This org started as students just sharing docs, and they exploded to having a chapter in every corner of the world, to having some of those students creating projects like Augur, the first prediction market on Ethereum in 2016, 15, and Optimism, Injective, and a couple others. Eric here on the call is joining as he was a student from the MIT Bitcoin Club, and he did the first Bitcoin airdrop on campus. I was at Florida, and the Blockchain Education Network flew me to the first conference where Vitalik introduced Ethereum back in 2015 down in Miami. So this network kept expanding and connecting students all over the world. Wow. And to this day, it's still here. Things change a lot. There's a lot of resources online to learn about blockchain, but the community still prevails. The Twitter is still there and had a lot of sort of influence with early Bitcoiners and adopters of the technology. And at the moment, we're really focused in deploying capital, in going to market strategies, in working with some of these young entrepreneurs and even later stage entrepreneurs that show a lot of potential in what they're building, in getting them to market, in increasing their market cap, connecting them, and helping them close their raises. And that's why you have the Dropout Capital name, because fun fact was, so we had about $20 billion of companies created over the last 10 years, right? And most of those alumni were students that dropped out. Me and Eric, we did not drop out, but most of the early ones, they went on and dropped out. We had Jeremy Gardner and Joey drop out from the unis they're attending, or Dominic from IOTA, I believe he dropped out to create IOTA, and many other stories like that. So that's why you have the name Dropout Capital, and part of the podcast is to share some of those stories, but also general successful stories in this space.
Yeah, that's super cool. Honestly, big fan of what you guys are doing. Me and Ash met at, Ash was an undergrad at Harvard, and I was getting my MBA, and that's how we met.
So, oh, cool.
Yeah. So I guess the school blockchain club network is still alive. I know EZA, have you met the EZA team? I know they do more hackathons, but I know they're super active. And
yeah, EZA have an app and could connect students to learn, to get their hackathons, even around Oxford and Cambridge. One of the founders was from the UK. And I remember that they went to DEF CON Colorado and had a whole hackathon, and they're really focused on that campus portion. It just, as you mentioned earlier, like students from Harvard and even the Ivy Leagues, are they're still talented. For them to getting in is already a filtering process. But then if you drop out and go do your own startup, that's like giving up on an opportunity, a massive opportunity in your life. And then you go on and do your own startup, which is ultra risky. So
I remember talking to Ash when he just got out of crypto startup school, and he was talking about dropping out. And I was like, dude, you have one semester left. So his last semester, he took history of art and architecture, just the most bullshit classes, just so he and barely showed up, just so he can get his degree and start focusing on Axel. But funny, Ash was like this close to dropping out. I was like, dude, you have one semester left, just finish.
Yeah, it's tempting, right? Especially after if you raise capital or if you get that validation. One of my best friends went to Colombia and he got into Peer Thiel's scholarship. And then he got 100K and he just decided to drop out. And still to this day, he's working on that same project and he's been ultra successful. It's a sports betting, sports fantasy app.
Nice.
And it's quite interesting seeing whole progress. I'm not very familiar with Axel. So if you want to start by introducing yourself, how you got into the idea, how did you guys build this, how long it took you? Yeah. And I know you recently secured capital, so congrats on that. I know it's tough. And yeah, we can start by there, and then me and Eric just ask questions.
Sounds good. So I'm Ari, head of strategy and operations at Axel. It's like the traditional non-technical role at a startup. My background, got into crypto 2017, publishing content. I was actually while I was in the Army. I graduated from West Point, was in the Army, just researching crypto on the side, went to HBS, and that's where I met Ash. And then I've only worked at startups, worked at a crypto startup pre-MBA, worked at a company called AstroForge during my MBA. It's like an asteroid mining company, aerospace industry, and then met Ash and learned about Axel, and the rest is history. So what Axel is doing now is creating autonomous on-chain agents. So the first one is a trading agent to do your whole crypto trading strategy for you. At least that's like the application layer. So you see like a lot of bots out there that very simple, like see meme coin, snipe meme coin kind of logic. What Autopilot does is imagine like a giant decision tree where it's risk profile. Here's my allocation. I'm going to do automated portfolio rebalancing, yield harvesting, DCA, stops, limits, circuit breaker on my entire wallet, targets, like all that just in one, like one agent to do all that for you. And you just take 5 to 10 minutes to set your parameters and let it go. That's the application layer. The execution layer is also custom. And that's like infrastructure similar to CowSwap of like essentially like intents and solvers, or some people call them fillers, but we're not routing our order flow to AMMs where they're like sandwich / MEV attacks. We're routing it directly to market makers. So it's just a better system. You get chain abstraction, MEV protection. We think it's just better for users. So
cool.
Yeah, that's basically what it does.
Going back to early on, you mentioned something even previously to Axel that stuck in my mind, which was asteroid mining.
Yeah.
Is this actually happening?
It will happen in our lifetimes. I'm confident of that. I think, is it going to happen the next year, next decade? I don't know. Probably not. It's very tricky. The thing is, it's super cool, but the timelines are just crazy. You have to get on like a SpaceX rideshare. There's a year-long wait list. There's light manufacturing. So if you launch a satellite to test like an in-space like platinum group metal refinery, which was I was helping with manage that. Yeah, it's cool. But if it doesn't work, you have to wait another year and spend another like $5-10 million on launch and satellite. The timelines are just super extended. So it's definitely going to happen. It's just a matter of, it's like a science experiment. You just got to get it right once. And
fascinating. And I asked this because I know early on when I invested in Ethereum, part of the funds raise was also towards asteroid mining. There's a subsidiary of Ethereum.
Dude, I did not know that.
There it goes. Towards it.
Called Planetary Resources. It's in this company.
I've heard of Planetary Resources. AstroForge will, they have advisors from Planetary Resources. I'll tell you now, as like the timeline is a negative thing to say. It'll be the close to ever do it. The closest to ever do it. And they have some really cool stuff like asteroid detection software. I think they just launched the first deep space mission that's ever been conducted. But yeah. Love that team. It was a really cool experience, but I just kind of wanted to do something earlier stage. Met Ash. We hit it off. So started on this kind of on-chain agents rabbit hole. I already had some crypto experience. So yeah, it was a better fit for me.
How did you guys formulate this idea for Axel? Because now it's popular to have, or it's starting to get traction to have these trading bots or agents, let's call it. But at the time, no one was talking about this. How did you guys envision or see this coming?
It was crazy. All the credit, I joined later, so all the credit goes to Ash. He was creating Zapier for crypto, so the automated 2-3-step workflows, like simple workflows that you automate, like for the crypto industry. That's what he was creating. And I think the realization there was if you, instead of just 3 steps or 3 nodes, if you create 20 to 50 nodes and attach conditions between them and you make this like giant decision tree in the sky, you can automate very complex systems that work autonomously. And that's essentially an agent. So the logic of automation was in Axel's DNA, but we just took it from easy, anyone can use, to let's make something, let's just let our imaginations go crazy and create very complex, or automate like very complex systems.
That's super interesting.
So I guess we got ahead of the narrative, but we unplanned, like, just got lucky.
The timing is good. What was it like participating in the Harvard MIT Blockchain Accelerator?
That was very cool. Highly recommend. It's a very good group. Sam, quick shout out, Sam Lehman and Liang Wu. Sam on the MIT side, Liang on the Harvard side. It was new, first cohort, it was just like, let's get together and help each other out. That's really all it was. Projects on all different kinds of timelines in terms of still ideating versus already have a product versus PMF. It was just like a first cohort. Let's just get people in the Harvard MIT ecosystem and let's help each other out. So it was very cool. And I'd highly recommend to any students currently there.
That's very cool. I've known Sam since December of 2023. Met him while there, and then both turned out to be MIT alum. And then, I was on all the planning calls for that accelerator. Right, so Luke did a big part in leading that, Manish as well, all the Beaver DAO people, the Beaver Block people, and then the Harvard Crypto Club. It was pretty cool to see how quickly they turned it and into from idea to execution. And then now already the startups have already raised from that accelerator. So congrats. I think you guys are one of the best success stories from there so far. Do you know of any other projects, any other ones that you've met while you were there that have also successfully raised?
I haven't kept in touch with many of them. I know Yala, so they're building kind of a L2 on Bitcoin or DeFi on Bitcoin. I know that's a narrative that's taken off. I know those guys pretty well, and I know they're doing really well. They raised a large round, if I'm not mistaken. But besides that, I think, unfortunately, we haven't kept in touch with a lot of those teams. I think the A16Z cohort is just a lot tighter, given that it's, and they're on our cap table. So it's when they're having an event, you're almost forced to go.
You're in the 16D crypto startup school.
Yeah. In 2023, Ash went to that, but that was actually before I joined the team.
Okay. I invested in another project from there from MIT called Shield. And so they initially were doing on-chain analysis for security risks, right? Glasswing for more transparency, but they've pivoted. They're doing, I think, more Bitcoin stuff now, but. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think there's definitely a lot of alpha that goes from those universities over to A16Z Startup School. And then I think the Startup School has been one of your communities that I feel is very close knit compared to Alliance DAO or Orange DAO, which are other good examples. Yeah. But I think they're some of the best incubators to be a part of.
For sure. I don't know if it's because the Crypto Startup School is still doing in person and you get to work next year. I don't know the reason for that, but that's a super interesting call out. But yeah. I'd say that cohort is still relatively tight.
Yeah. How'd you get your first investor?
It was all Ash. The first investor, first person on the cap table was A16Z, just from startup school. Unusual Ventures was also on there. And then me and Ash were talking. We'd meet in the Harvard iLab over by business school. I don't know if you've been to that building. We'd meet there all the time and talk fundraising, but this was before I even knew I'd be part of the team. I wasn't officially, it was just, we're two crypto people. We like hanging out and having conversations. So I was helping him doing a couple intros, but Ash ran fundraising as basically a solo founder with help from professors, people like me. And he got to 2.5, but it's also, I'm a huge advocate of these accelerators, because once you have a big name on your cap table, even though the idea ended up changing significantly, or at least morphing into something else, it becomes easier to raise capital, I think.
With regards to raising capital, there are ideas floating around from some people that they want to, it can sound crazy, but to start DAOs that could fundraise money to do decentralized ownership in Ashland mining. Do you think that's possible? That crazy? People have created DAOs and fundraised money to buy the Constitution, to all sorts of insane things.
Dude, that's so interesting. I honestly think it's going to be hard I think there was an idea of buying like a, was it a football team or a baseball team at some point, the Constitution. It's very simple. It's like pull together funds, purchase this asset. We have fractionalized ownership of this asset. The doing something like asteroid mining is like, you need to hire a team. There's a lot. You need to schedule, like coordinate stuff with government, like agencies in terms of scheduling launch and getting clearances. There's all these, what do you call it? ITAM. I think it's called ITAM, like restrictions. I just think there are a lot of nuances that would make something like that a lot more difficult, as opposed to, it makes total sense if you're pulling together assets for fractional ownership, pulling together assets for a crazy, like an insane science experiment with NASA involved, government involved, SpaceX with rocket launches, satellite manufacturers, ground stations. I think it becomes crazy. It's doable. Why not? I mean, maybe pulling those funds to invest in Astroforge because they're like the closest right now. But in terms of starting from scratch, doable. A bit crazy, but doable. Then again, the whole industry's crazy, so why not?
There is a lot of like democratization of like, you know, the investment DAOs, right? That you can pull in a bit of money and then they can invest. But yeah, I agree. It's like you need the team already there with the industry expertise to be able to pull it off. And then it's more so that the DAO is an alternative of fundraising, because maybe VCs that are very risk averse or to various levels, you might be able to get funding this way. There's some stuff like that with DeSci, right? With scientific research and funding in scientific research. I've seen there's a lot of DeSci conferences in Boston, like at Harvard and MIT. Have you been to any? Have you seen the DeSci space growing?
I've interacted with some of the DeSci people while I was there. I think it's very concentrated in Boston, because when I left, I stopped running into DeSci people. So I know there's a big cohort in Boston and they came to some of our school events. But besides that, I wouldn't call myself particularly active in that space.
Did it seem legit and promising, or is it more just trying to blockchainify everything?
That's an interesting question. I feel speaking a little bit out of turn because I haven't done like a crazy amount of research, but I'll say just what I kind of surface level. I know there's a lot of bureaucracy, middlemen, and like academic research. And I suppose that's what blockchain is for, democratizing these like typically centralized systems. So I think conceptually it makes sense. In terms of who do you need to onboard to a system like that, I think it's people in academia. And that part seems difficult. That part seems like an uphill battle. But conceptually, totally understand why it exists and what it's aiming for.
And with Axel, how are you tackling growth or community growth?
Great question. So Autopilot, or the application layer, is completely anyone can join on. It's like consumer base. A couple things. I think we got lucky that we just caught this agents narrative at a good time. So we've seen some pretty good organic growth. The other thing is we're partnering with a lot of really promising projects, because when you're on the application layer and you have order flow, you have a lot of leverage when you go talk to people for partnerships. Because if you're a protocol, or like hypothetically, I'm going to use Circle, like USDC as an example, but they don't really apply because they're too big to care about us. But if you have order flow and you go to someone like Circle and you're like, I would like to put Circle in the USDC in the stablecoin allocation of Autopilot, and we're going to send that to AVE3 for 5% yield. But in exchange, just for, let's just do some co-marketing kind of partnership stuff. I feel like it's an easy pitch because you're offering them free order flow. But when you're on the application layer and you have users, you can actually, co-marketing is a good like growth strategy. So that's A. And then B, just trying out all these different types of channels. I actually take a lot of my inspiration from just traditional Web2 growth hacking stuff you'll see in software. So one thing we want to do is, with Autopilot, is the ability to create your own index and share your own index. And if people adopt it, then you probably get, we haven't ironed out the details, but you get like a kickback on fees. And it's like growth hacking, which is something internal to the product that becomes shareable and viral and incentivizes people internal growth, as opposed to only market, like only social media posts, only partnerships. So that's the way I think about it. How can you make like a self-perpetuating marketing viral system? That's what I've been thinking a lot about. Sharing indexes, I think, is going to be a big one, but we have other ideas too we're working on.
And are you guys doing like trading competitions?
Yeah, for our beta, the best agent gets $5,000, little things like that. We want to have a leaderboard with prizes, some like gamification for sure. I think you have to.
Cool.
Yeah.
Regarding the autopilot, a couple of questions come to my mind. How does the auto rebalance adapt to the market volatility over time? And how frequently users should consider rebalancing? And is there an auto exit also feature?
That's a good question. I'll start with auto exit. I last bull market cycle just did a total round trip where rode my gains all the way up, rode my gains all the way down, and I'm still kicking myself 3-4 years later. So what auto exit would do is programmatically, like if the market, and you can set, depending on your risk profile, you can set a super tight stop or a super like deep stop, but it just says, hey, I think the market's nearing a top. If there's something down, if my wallet goes down 20%, swap everything to USDC on Ethereum and send it to my offboarding wallet. And if I had done something like that, I would not have round tripped. So I think it's just a good feature where you just programmatically take profits. And then going to the auto rebalancing, kind of same thing. It's a way to programmatically force yourself to take profits. Could you make slightly more? And then in terms of like monthly to annually, totally depends. You could make more if you rode your profits as long as you could. And if that's something you want to do, maybe annual rebalancing makes sense. But if you want to force yourself to take profits and take them frequently, maybe monthly. Me personally, I twice a year, the semi-annual function is what I like. But yeah, it auto rebalancing takes advantage of the volatility by forcing you to rebalance. So if you have, I don't know, Giga and it goes up 200% and you hit your rebalancing, it's going to sell that and say Ethereum right now is lagging. It would buy Ethereum with the expectation, traditional like TradFi risk management, with the expectation that Ethereum is most likely going to catch up with the rest of the market. But if you disagree with that statement, you just take out Ethereum or decrease your allocation. So it's like totally personalized.
Pretty interesting. And the first question comes to my mind is, how do you handle in terms of custodial? Is it a non-custodial? Do I have to trust fully the platform with the funds? All this is happening in the background.
Yeah, we use the same architecture that a lot of these bots make, where Axel does not own or even know your private keys. The agent creates a wallet for you and then you fund that wallet. And then your autopilot has permissions to execute those transactions on your behalf. Because otherwise you'd be signing, approving transactions all the time and it'll get really annoying. But the agent's doing it for you. So we don't, it's your private keys and an agent has delegated access. And if you change your mind, you either move your funds or remove access. So that's the way we see security. And we take it super seriously because Banana Gun, I think BokBot, I could be wrong, that the traditional bots have a lot of security issues, a lot of hacks.
That's quite interesting. They can execute trades by myself without even me accepting or refusing and just without giving my private key.
Yep, exactly. And Permit 2 is architecture that lets you do that. It's like a delegated wallet access.
I have a question there, distinction. So is there a distinction between a bot and an AI agent?
I think that's a really good question. I don't think no one's really answered that yet. So Axel, Axel and Autopilot specifically, we've actually never used the term AI because there's no machine learning. There's no kind of like fluidity, like changing happening in the system. But we've referred to it as on-chain agents because it runs a complex system autonomously. So I guess in the spectrum, there's like a bot, C wallet, copy wallet, Z meme coin, Snipe meme coin, like one step. There's an AI agent that's using machine learning to constantly self-update and run a system autonomously. We're like in the middle where we call it autonomous agents. We fully plan to implement AI, and we have a couple, I'll give an example now, like a way we can do that. But a pessimist would call it a very complex bot. An optimist would be, this is AI because it's automating like a super complex system. So the way we've been positioning ourselves is like, we're right in the middle. We're not bots, like AI agents. That's probably too smart for what we created. We're like somewhere in the middle with a long-term goal of becoming smarter and more complex and feeding it data. So hypothetically, let's say you're getting close to rebalancing and you have one token that's just running and the momentum indicators are super strong. Perhaps AI recognizing or having data, like feeding on top of data models to recognize, I think I can let this run for another week or two. So I'm going to temporarily pause rebalancing, let the momentum indicators die down, and then I'm going to rebalance. Something like that, where it's like getting you a little bit extra alpha because it's very intelligent. That's something we want to like long-term go towards.
Yeah, yeah. And you get your liquidity from DEXs?
Yeah, pretty much. The liquidity. So right now we're Axles being the only solvers. Most of our liquidity is going to be sent towards Radium on the Solana side or Uniswap on the EVM side. Eventually, if you want to do like a cross-chain swap, we want to move towards the CalSwap architecture where anyone can make that order flow happen. They compete for that order flow. If you say, when you're rebalancing, you're selling 5 ETH to buy 20 Solana, that can be executed directly by a market maker, like a Wintermute or someone. And it's going to be cheaper. It's going to be faster. It's going to be like chain abstracted. Because otherwise you're swapping wormhole swap again. And there are a whole bunch of fees. It's going to be a pain in the butt. But if you do like solver style, it's a more efficient system. I think the whole industry is moving towards that. I also think, and I hope that we're like one of the first movers.
Regarding the bots, a question came to my mind was, as a user, I could set it for certain parameters and it will adjust automatically for my parameters. Would that make it an agent? Because in a sense, it's readjusting and over time learning from
the fact that it's personalized. Yeah. And one thing I would think so. Like the definitions in here are so tricky. And I've been, even on Twitter, I've been public about there are, I don't want to talk bad, but there are projects doing a whole lot less that saying we're AI. And it's, we're doing a whole lot more and being totally transparent that we're not AI right now, but we intend to be. And when one of those, the fact that it's personalized to your risk profile, not necessarily. So what we do is like we assign a score based off of your risk profile, based off like how you answer the questions. And then that score guides you to an initial allocation. So all programmatic. However, using AI training on data to refine that to be like, hey, your risk profile says you're a 2 and you have 50% meme coins. Like what's going on here? Or here's some suggestions. Like, yeah, potentially. I think that's like another route we can go down. But yeah, just the idea of assigning a risk profile. Now we do that kind of algorithmically, not with artificial intelligence.
Cool. Sounds interesting. Are you guys planning on launching a token?
2025 for sure. The tokenomics we're still ironing out because there's two paths, like long-term. We want to create other agents. So Autopilot is like an autonomous trading agent, but we can also create an autonomous marketing agent. And that one will probably have more AI because you can train it based off of, here's my favorite YouTube X personality. And I'm going to give this agent access to my Twitter and I'm going to give them access to this wallet. So it can post on social media. It can airdrop to like my most valued contributors. So creating other agents and then having those tasks automated to solvers. Those are the, when we launch token, it's either going to coordinate action on the agent side, on the solver side, or both. So So we want to launch a token 2025. We're still figuring out the tokenomics. It depends how Autopilot does, to be honest.
Yeah, makes sense. And in the short term, how do you see us working together or adding value on our end?
I think go to market where we are now, we have a strong dev team, like engineering team. I think we have a strong growth go-to-market team between me and Jacob's our head of growth, and he's been awesome. I think once Autopilot's done and we take back and take a breather, we're going to start thinking about this tokenomics and having just bouncing ideas off of people are super, super valuable.
Yeah, for sure. We can also help with partnerships. For example, I know a couple of companies using AI agents already for trading.
Yeah.
One of them is the Sonar platform. Can be also interesting to connect you with their team.
Or .io?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I'll check these guys out. This multi-chain. This seems super interesting. Cross-chain swaps. Yeah. I'll check these guys out. Even today, I discovered two that were similar, not quite the same, but similar. One focuses on just yield, not token allocations, but strictly yield. And the other one was similar, but on Telegram. And I don't know how to go about Telegram as a kind of interface.
And how does Autopilot manage like rebalancing, or how does he find the best yield generating opportunities in the market? Is this manual inputs that the team feeds, or it's out there?
It's basically whitelisted. So the large yields, like places to generate yield or yield aggregators, let's just stick with Aave Uniswap right now. Aave Uniswap Radium, if you're on Solana, it essentially whitelisted based off of, because we don't want yield being sent to like sketchy places. But yeah, whitelisted places. And then every time you rebalance, it's going to see which is the best of those kind of whitelisted DEXs, liquidity pools, like lending markets, and it's going to route it there. So right now for Stape, it's 5%. But hypothetically, if you're on Uniswap and you're getting 5, and then Aave has 5.5, 6 at rebalancing time, it's going to get you a better yield. But we whitelist them just because we don't want any sketchy, we don't want yield going to, I don't know, Antonio's exchange that he launched yesterday with 500% yield. Nah, we don't want that happening. So we whitelist them.
That makes sense. And what is your take on the recent news about these meme coin sort of AI agents that quite went viral on Twitter for some time?
I love it. It's super cool. I think it's just entertaining. And I think that's like phase one. We're like, oh, this is cool and funny and entertaining with virtuals and whatever, Goetius Maximus, Truth Terminal. I think over time, that's where we want to play. Less just funny, entertaining, and more, oh, this is super useful for me personally.
Yeah. For example, you mentioned Truth Terminal. He reached over $3 million in trading. Yeah. Do you see the same happening with your AI agents in a sense, having this really unlimited potential to deliver returns in a way?
Sky's the limit. It's still, because we're sort of focusing on Autopilot, it's all just like a brainstorming phase right now. But we even came up with the idea of a professional shiller for any token, like similar to Truth Terminal. Like their job is to just be very funny and shill your project and create a community around that token. And then you can create a different agent for a different project. And then, okay, at what point are they like fighting each other or talking crap about each other? So you can imagine every meme coin has an agent that it's like its personal hype man that's trying to onboard people. And then they start like arguing with each other. The way it normally works with Axel, like with our team, we'll have a crazy conversation like this for 20 minutes and it's, oh shit, we should get back to work. Like we have a product. We have a product allowance. We should get back to work. We'll process this later. But literally you're only limited by your imagination when you start talking about stuff like this.
And going back to the product that you mentioned, that product is Autopilot, refining and making it as best as possible for the user.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever your trading strategy, your investing strategy is, it just automates the entire thing. And it helps you with positioning based off your risk, like risk management, profit taking, protecting yourself from getting wrecked, all of that. I think it's more toward if you're like a high frequency meme coin trader, I don't think it's probably not for you. If you're a successful meme coin trader and you're sitting on a bag of Solana that you're not sure what to do with, then maybe you allocate some of it towards autopilot. But if you're someone like me who invests, but you're too busy to be constantly, where's the best yield? What's the best positions? I need to take profits. Then I feel like that's who it's for.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's quite of an audience for that, with myself included. I don't have the time.
Hope so. Some people just love staring at charts, and that's never going to, we're never going to get them. They're like addicted.
Thanks for tuning in to the Chain Stories podcast, where disruptors become trailblazers. Don't forget to subscribe to hear more inspiring stories from those who are pushing boundaries in digital assets. Brought to you by Dropout Capital, where bold vision transforms into reality. Check out our social media links down below and visit us online at dropout.capital. And remember, the future belongs to those who dare to challenge the norm.